Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you guys here today. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your hump day here with us as we together study the word of Almighty God. You're going to hear part two of the sermon I just preached on resurrection morning. It's entitled The Last Enemy. That's from the subject heading, chapter heading in my New King James Bible for the text we were at. And the text is John chapter 11. That's where we're going to be here today. The Lord Jesus raising up his friend Lazarus from the dead. We learned so much from this. First, we read, when his friends told him he was dead, he deliberately waited two more days. And that reminds me of a verse, and it reminded me on Sunday. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Look, God's not calling you to understand everything. He's calling you to believe him at his word. Believe God at his word, just like Martha did in today's text. Lord, I believe. I believe whatever you ask from the Father, he will give you as well. Lord, I believe. And that's all that's required of us. We're not going to understand it all. We just need to trust God at his word. We're going to watch him raise up Lazarus from the dead now. And we're also going to look at the two different responses to this. It's the same way people respond today. We'll get to that here coming up at the end. I'd love to see you guys for church here tonight. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up, and he is on the tail end of the book of Philippians. 6 o'clock tonight, Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, 6 to 7, much more informal service than our Sunday mornings are. We have a dry erase board. We roll that out. It's open for questions and comments. So we would love to see you. If you're new to the area, or if you're free on Wednesday nights, or if you're looking for a new church home, then I invite you to attend Island Community Church here tonight. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 30 minutes to come tonight. We'd love to see you. I'll greet you here at the door, as a matter of fact. So why don't you come by, sit under the word of God with us, study the word. I guarantee you, God will help you through the daily struggles of life that we all have. There's no better place to be than sitting under the authority of the word of God and being in God's house, because this is where God speaks. He speaks in his word. That's where we're at today. Let's tune into his frequency now. And let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ as he raises up his friend Lazarus from the dead.
I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the end. Death might be our last enemy, but it's not the end. Not for the believer in Jesus Christ. For that matter, it's not the end for the unbeliever either. Jesus says in John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Like I said, he paid the piper in your place. You won't come into judgment if you call on the name of Jesus Christ. You will not come into judgment. Verse 25, John 5:25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He's speaking to you. That's why he says the time is coming and now is. It's here right now. All those who hear his voice, the dead will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Or the King James says, resurrection of damnation. And indeed, you will pay the piper. See, this is why the Bible says the Son of God is King of kings and Lord of lords, because he rules even over death, as we're about to see. Back to John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, that would be eternal life. He who believes in me, even though he might die, he shall live. And, check out the word there, and, meaning, hold on there, I'm not done yet. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So that's either one of two types of people. Those who are in the grave will hear his voice. Remember, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And those who are blessed to still be alive when he returns. Now, to them, he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Imagine that. Imagine being the blessed generation that's going to be alive when Jesus comes back. That group of people, whoever that may be, Jesus says, will never die. Who wants to be in the group that won't ever die? Raise said hand. Or if it's not you, maybe your kids or grandkids. Or family. All I know is whoever the group of believers that's alive, when he cracks the skies, praise God, is not ever going to die. That's why you got this word today in the Bible. How we end up here? It says, today if you hear my voice, remember, my sheep hear my voice. Today if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts, but call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of the resurrection. I am the resurrection, he said. He is in charge of raising up all the dead people. And he's in charge of converting you in the twinkling of an eye when he comes back. He's in charge of it. That's his department. I am the resurrection, he says. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he asks the question, and it's the same question I'll ask you here today on this fifth day of April. And that is, do you believe this? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Do you believe Jesus is in charge of the resurrection? He says that he is. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus has the power and the authority to raise up the dead? Whoever lives and believes in me, he says, shall never die. Do you believe? This is not just Martha. It's about you as well here today. Do you believe Jesus has the power and the authority over the last enemy? The last enemy is death. And praise God, he's conquered the last enemy. So death's got no hold on you anymore for all those who have called on the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's see what Martha's response is to this. Verse 27. Now you got to remember, this book was written down by eyewitnesses. This is not someone's fleeting fancy. These guys died for writing this stuff down. They all died so that you would know the truth. These guys, Peter said, he said, I was a witness. He said, I heard God's voice when we were with him up on the mountain. He said, this is my beloved son. Utos estin ho wheels moo, he said to him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And we were with him. This book was written by eyewitnesses, people that saw Jesus alive after he had died. And they want you to know the truth, that salvation is through Jesus Christ. Now let's see Martha's response. Verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord." That's all she had to say. "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Christ," or Messiah. "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come in the world." So that's it. "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that by believing in you, like you instructed me, I too will have eternal life." Now here in verse 28, the subject heading in my Bible is Jesus and death, the last enemy. So consider that again for a moment. Got ahead of myself. I mean, there's no enemy after this one, right? There's no enemy. I mean, death is final, or at least it used to be final. Up until this point, it was final. I mean, who can hurt you after you died? Who can garnish your wages? Who can sue you? Who can take advantage of you after you're dead? Who can marginalize you anymore? Death's the end of all that, right? But here's the great news for the Christian, and that is death is not the end anymore. It's not the end, because the Lord Jesus has conquered death, our last enemy. That's what I'm here to tell you today. Death is not the end. Jesus Christ has conquered death, and he's conquered the last enemy. Now, back to Martha. She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." You see, people don't get this today. That's why these places, these cryogenic places where they cut off your head and freeze your body for 1,000 years waiting for someone to come up with a cure. Why? Because you don't believe God at his word. You don't believe what he said. All you got to do is believe and receive. Now you got people getting their heads cut off. That's what they do if they cryogenically freeze you. Let me move on. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come in the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and he's calling for you." So as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but he was in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, that my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit. And look what it says. And he was troubled. You see, he's feeling this now, can't you tell? Now he's feeling this. We are emotional people, aren't we? Look at me. I can't help it. We're emotional people. We are emotional train wrecks sometimes, aren't we? See, Jesus is feeling this now. You see, now he's troubled. Now he's starting to feel what you and I go through on any given day. Hurt, suffering, pain. See, this is why Jesus said, this is why the Bible says that he can relate to our suffering. You don't ever have to say to him, "Lord, you don't understand what I'm going through," because praise God, he does understand. He knows what you're going through. He's experienced your pain, and he's come out the other side, and he says, "Praise God, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I've got your back." All you have to do is call on my name. As he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all you have to do. He's done all the work. Jesus paid the piper so that you don't have to. So he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, like he's probably sniffing there. Well, I know he is, because look what it says next. "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, it's the shortest verse in all the Bible. Look what it says. Just two words. Then Jesus cried. Jesus wept. I believe he was simply overwhelmed and absolutely flooded with human grief that we suffer when somebody that we love dies. Verse 36, apparently so. Then the Jews said, see how we loved him? All right, now, as there's one in every group, enter in the yakkers and the complainers. Verse 37. And some said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? It's one in every crowd, right? They were right. He could have. But yet Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Because you people are about to witness something spectacular, is what he means here, but didn't say. All of you are about to receive the proof that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is God. God the Son. Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And it was a cave and a stone lay against it. So Jesus said, take away that stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. The King James says he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. You see, the Jews were this superstitious lot. They believed and taught among themselves that the spirit hovered over a person for 3 days after they died. You see, this was another reason why he waited for four. So no superstitious fool was going to say, spirit was right. You know, there was going to be no mistaking here that this indeed was a miracle. Verse 38. Okay, I already read that. Take away the stone. Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And the same goes for you today, church. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? That's the word for everyone in this house today. Did I not say to you that if you would just believe the man in the glory today? Did I not say to you that if you would believe? It's all that's required of you. He did not say, did I not say to you that if you put in 20% of your income into this offering plate, I'll pull a couple strings and maybe see what I can do? That's not what he said. Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? Matter of fact, I guarantee it today. Okay? On the authority of the Word of God, I, Paul W. Esposito, guarantee this church today that if you would only believe in him and receive him, that you too will see the glory of God. I guarantee it. He can hold me accountable if I'm wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. I guarantee it. Believe in him and you'll see the glory of God. That's all you got to do. Believe. Verse 41, so then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now Pastor Darren's been preaching on this, how we approach God. What's he say? Father, I thank you. Thanksgiving and praise when we approach God. Even the Son does it this way. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've heard me, and I know you always hear me. But because of these people that are standing around, I say this, so that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, pretty much he said to him, get that stuff off of him and set him free. He says, loose him and let him go. Now, your response to this miracle will be the same as theirs. Verse 45 and verse 46. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen the things that Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. You see, even witnessing this event won't just automatically make you or guarantee that you are a believer. But you need to be spring-loaded with the gift of faith on the inside of you, that something is waiting to ignite it. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God or see God or come to God. He gives us faith. Even seeing this, it didn't save these guys. Even witnessing this event won't just automatically make you a believer. Look at what these without the gift of faith did. It said, psst. These guys said to the Pharisees, this Jesus guy's down the street here, and he's, What could their complaint possibly be? Raising the dead? How does that offend you? How does it offend you that Jesus rose the dead? I don't understand. How are you offended by that? What would be your response? Are you offended that Jesus raised up someone from the dead? What would be your response? Now, there's lots of people in this church, they've lost their daddies, loved ones. What would be your response if Jesus raised up your dad from the grave? Or your mother, perhaps. Maybe your late husband. What would you do? What would your response be? Would you rejoice? Or would you go to the local branch of the ACLU or the Freedom From Religion Foundation and rat them out? You know, I've learned through my Christian life to ask myself the question. Better yet, I ask him the question when there's no one around that can hear me ask it, because I'd be too embarrassed if you guys heard me ask it. When I run across personal failures like this in the Bible, I ask the Lord, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Will I turn you in, Lord? So easy to say, no, not me. I'd never do that. No, Martha might turn him in, but not me, you see. No. Sorry, I know the Lord too much, too well. I could never do that. You might. I'll pray for you, sister. Better watch out. It's more like, is it I? Will I be the one that's going to turn you in? Because don't kid yourself. You and I are more than capable of responding like these guys did and going to the local Freedom From Religion Foundation because you're bent out of shape that Jesus just raised up someone from the dead and that didn't sit too well with you. Or will you rejoice and worship and receive him as Lord and Savior and King in your life like these people did? Now, as for the unbelievers, here's where they went next. Verse 53, it says, then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. You see, they'd not have any of this. You're not going to raise my father from the dead. You offend me. Who would say that? Who would say that? Who would say that? You know, Glenn Beck the other day, I follow him on Twitter. He posted a picture on Twitter the other day of the Earth taken by the astronauts this week. And he had the unmitigated audacity to put the comment under that picture, three words, God is great. And that comment infuriated people. As they, you know what they do on Twitter, if they don't like something you put on there, they community flag it. So he got community flagged for putting up a picture of the Earth and says, God is great. And they answered it with, science is great. You see, now I can understand a little bit better now. It's all among us here today. How you could see Jesus raise up someone from the dead and you in turn go to the local branch of the ACLU and go rat him out because You're offended that he raised up someone's brother. You're offended that he raised up somebody's father. You're offended that he raised up someone's wife who just passed away. You see, let me help you a little bit here. If that's you, if you think that way, let me say, friend, you've been deceived. You've been deceived by your enemy who hates you. When the smoke clears, you see, I just want you to see. If you feel that way, you've been deceived. Not everyone is thrilled that God loves them. Now, as for you, I repeat the words of Jesus. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, that you would see the glory of God? Now, I leave you guys today with this verse out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's why we're here today. If you confess with your mouth, homo legeo, that means to agree with God, to speak the same thing. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then he says, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah indeed. He is risen, church. We praise his holy name today. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you. Thank you, Father God, that death could have no hold over your Son. We embrace what you've done. We believe. We call on you. We receive you as Lord. And yet, Lord, help keep us humble to always understand that we too are capable of falling. We remember your word. Let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. We pray for all those that's heard this message here today. We thank you for the simplicity that is in Christ, that all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus, believe in him, receive him today, and that you will write our names in the book of life. And we praise you and we thank you for dying in our place, taking our punishment in our place, and paying the piper for us so that we wouldn't have to. We exalt you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Well, Colorado has extended its losing streak at the Supreme Court. Yesterday, the court ruled in Childs versus Salazar, a case that challenged a law that prohibited licensed counselors from helping clients, especially children, reconcile their identity with their sex through talk therapy. The 8-1 decision included all of the court's conservative justices and two of its liberal justices. Because the Colorado law would restrict speech based on viewpoint, the court held, it violated the First Amendment. The plaintiff in the case is Kaylee Childs, a Colorado-based counselor who provides talk therapy to her patients. As the court explained, talk therapy is speech. It does not involve physical treatments or medical prescriptions. It consists only of the spoken word. And in counseling her patients, including children, Childs often discusses issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. Under the Colorado law, Childs could experience